It's The Buzz 24/7 at morningbuzz.com.
This is unbelievable.
Now that's what's up.
It's funny. Before we started this, you were just singing Aquarius by the Fifth Dimension.
Because you keep playing it.
You do keep playing.
The last couple days I did play it.
So did ABC News, I think.
Sticks in your head a little bit, yeah. You know. But for me, it's Holiday Road by Lindsey Buckingham.
Oh, such a great song.
From Vacation. I played that this morning, and now that's in my Holiday Road. And I saw him at the Casino Ballroom. I think, Kelly, you were at the show.
Was that the show?
And he played that.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
And it was good.
Show. But it was an hour and a half exactly, the show I saw.
Yeah.
There was no encore. Right in the nose, 8:30, boom.
Yeah.
10, it was over. No encore.
Lindsey Buckingham, loudest show I ever saw. Isn't that weird?
Where?
Like, at the Casino Ballroom. I don't know if it was the same one. I might have seen him the year before, 2 years before. Our friend Andy Herrick said that when Lindsey Buckingham would walk to the edge of the stage, because he's an unbelievable guitar player, when he walks to the front of the stage, he's telling the sound guy, turn it up, because I want to feel it, you know? And I've never felt a show in my ears 3 days later like I did that. And it was
not healthy.
It was kind of unnecessary. I mean, it was a great show, kind of unnecessary. After the show, I was able to meet Lindsey, which was cool because huge fan.
Yeah.
He doesn't do a lot of radio, and he did our show twice.
Right.
And, you know, you're talking to Lindsey Buckingham.
Yep.
Holy shit. It was great. And he was good, right? He was really nice and good with us. And then I met him, and we had a picture taken, and it was cool.
So sad.
And also, there was a picture taken. No, I don't think I had a picture taken with him. Let me take that back.
Mm-hmm.
I was gifted a picture from a 13x11 photo of him at the show, playing on stage, guitar and everything, and by his record guy. And the record guy, I'm going to get Lindsey to sign it for you, you know, and so sent it to his office and everything like that. And I'm like, that's cool. Probably never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had Lindsey on again, and I said, hey, by the way, our mutual friend sent you a photograph, and he goes, oh yeah, it's in my office. He goes, and I said, I've never done this before. Could you sign it? Because I'm a huge fan. I never ask that.
Yeah.
I don't even ask that in person, let alone on the air in the middle of an interview.
Oh, he didn't say no.
No, he said he was very kind.
Oh,
he said, yeah, absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
And I believe he was going to.
Yeah.
And he went, and he took immediately afterwards, later that afternoon, I got a message from the record guy who said, yeah, Lindsey opened up the picture and take a look at it. He didn't like the way his forehead looked.
Didn't like the picture.
I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I was like, it's just for me. I'm not going to sell it. I mean, you know? And I was so let down that he didn't like the way his forehead looked in a picture of a live show.
Use the Sharpie. Draw a little hat.
Oh, my God.
Put a little hat on yourself.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that bum you? Was that weird?
You should have signed it on the forehead to absorb
or whatever. Forehead. Just signed it and sent it back. But no.
Ugh.
And he never sent the picture back. I was like, I don't want it. I don't want it. Keep it. That's my Lindsey Buckingham story.
She was talking earlier about how she didn't like the Doobies. Yeah, I'm
the new Doobies.
Well, no,
Michael
I do
McDonald's.
Like the Doobies.
She likes the old Doobies.
Yeah,
Tom Johnson.
Me, all of Fleetwood Mac.
Not you.
Not my thing.
Yeah.
Not
really.
Not my
none
thing.
Of it.
None of it.
I love it.
Well, the Fleetwood Mac album, the original with Stevie Nicks, the first one, the white cover album, whatever. And then, of course, Rumors was classic. No,
oh, no. The
one before that had Over My Head. You can take me anytime you like.
Christine
that song.
McVie song.
Yeah, great songs. But those two albums together are probably, in pop music, one of the best 1-2 punch albums that any band could ask for. I know you don't like them.
No, yeah.
But together, a first 1-2 punch, like Van Halen 1 and 2,
yeah.
Same thing. Rock and World, forget it.
Forget it.
That's the best 1-2 punch.
Pop-wise.
Huh?
Pop-wise, you're saying, yeah.
For Fleetwood Mac, pop-wise.
It's not my thing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the same way she was saying, you know, she imagines an elevator. You know, I imagine some sort of medication commercial.
It's okay.
Yeah,
it's
not my thing.
Best 1-2 punch from an album, from a band. Like, Get Your Wings, Toys in the Attic, boom, boom, knockout. Mm-hmm. Both of them. Yep. Great 1-2 punch. one followed by the other.
Oh,
how many
man.
Jam bands have a great 1-2 punch, Laura?
I don't know.
You don't. You're not an album person.
Yeah. Honestly, it doesn't matter to me. If I like music, I like music. I don't need to listen to the album from start to finish, to the next album from start to finish. It just doesn't.
But that's what the artist, that's what they release.
Yeah.
If you, if you, you love the artist, why don't
an
you?
An artist is doing that to get people, fans, listeners. So everybody's way of taking, I could take a song totally different of how they wrote the song, whatever. They're just enjoying the fact that I like their music. It doesn't matter if I listen to it on mix.
I get that. But
many artists did wanted the album in order and wanted you to listen to it in order.
Because you strike me as a tapestry, like you probably, Carole King's Tapestry. That's the classic album. Have you ever listened to it start to finish?
Nope.
Because there is, believe it or not, we sit down and we try to find, you know, a flow of the album. You know, like I want to catch you in the beginning. And then, you know, the album, you know,
you're bleeding by the end. Profusely.
And at the end, we want to grab your attention at the end. So it's
burn
kind of
your eyes out.
For me, I always call it like the W. Like there could be stuff that like our heavier song, maybe not as heavy, maybe not as heavy.
The flow of the album.
And then
brains bashed out.
And then bang. So the last song you listen to,
smash your skull.
You know, it's kind of like when you do a set.
Yeah.
I want to catch you in the beginning. And I want to catch you at the end.
Which,
and hopefully I got to
take you
in
for
between.
A ride in the middle.
Yeah.
Also,
Scotty,
comedy.
Almost resembles the multi-channel mixer. A little bit of a W thing going on there.
I like
upside down.
I like the W analogy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's.
Yeah. I think when I was probably, when I got 10, I listened to 10 from start to finish.
Yeah.
Just because those are the days when I was sitting in my bedroom doing nothing. I'm not sitting down and listening to an entire album with.
So you're not interested in any album that tells a story? From the beginning to the end, like Sgt. Pepper or Captain Fantastic and the Brown Bear Cowboy.
I'm not. Yeah, I just. It doesn't. I'm sorry.
No.
And I think a lot of people I don't even know the names of half the albums. If I like a song, I listen to the song. Probably don't even know the name of the song. I'm just like, know all the words to it.
Yeah.
That's minivan listening. Yeah.
Yep. If I love music, I love how it makes me feel.
Yeah.
I love to sing every single word to the songs that I know, but
yeah, it's just, it's different. It's different than the way, you know, I grew up. But then there were more what they called concept albums. Like people, they recorded albums, you know, to be a start to finish.
I got a concept album for you.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Lou Reed's New York.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all about, like, you can see him writing that in the streets of New York, and it's got that attitude.
It's got that feel to it.
Yeah.
It's got that feel to it.
That's a concept album.
I will never
right
listen
there.
To it all.
And if you look back.
No?
Not a Lou Reed guy.
Oh, man, that album is phenomenal start to finish.
I listen to that, and I hear, you know, Medical Office. I'm teasing you.
I'll toss it back at you, Jimmy.
I'm not a Lou Reed guy.
All right.
Just not be, but I know exactly what you're saying. I've heard cuts from the album, and I agree with you 100%. You're on the streets of New York.
Dirty Boulevard.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
And if you look back at the music business back then, okay, we're going to put Greg out on the road, and he's going to be on the road. And then when he's off the road, he's in the studio. And then when that album's done, he's back on the road.
Yeah.
And to think that some bands could do that.
Beatles had 4 albums in 1 year, 1964, 4 albums.
Who does that?
Nobody.
Who does that?
Nobody. U2 takes freaking 6 years. Every band takes 6 years now.
Well, they didn't used to, but they do now.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so it's crazy.
That's also why we got Diver Down. Right?
That's right.
You're right.
We got to get something on the radio so we get them back out again.
You prepare your whole life for the first album, and then you, holy shit, come up with another one in 8 months.
You had your whole life to write the first album.
Shinedown albums sometimes are start-to-finish type of albums. They're always about the message. Sometimes I just want to have some fun. So I get what you're saying. Sometimes I don't want a message. I just want to freaking rock out or
just want to listen
chill.
To the song. Yeah.
You know?
But I don't even want a message sometimes. I just like, I can see that vibe that person was in when they wrote that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Chris Isaak's albums have that.
I love
you
Chris
Isaac.
Isaac.
Oh, I love Chris Isaac.
So do I.
Dude, I
Laura,
love Chris Isaac.
Huge fan.
She does. Another guy.
It's just that one song. I don't listen to Chris Isaac. I just
you would like his because he did a lot of Sun record stuff.
Oh, he's just great.
Yeah, I know that one song where that girl's rolling around in the sand that
Wicked
was played.
Yeah, Wicked Game.
Oh, my gosh, that played on MTV.
That's not
so
Chris Isaac,
yeah.
though.
Well, that was the one that paid for his house,
but that's not him.
Right.
So, Somebody's Crying, I think, is a perfect song.
It's almost so perfect. It's almost Elvis-y.
It's very Elvis-y.
It's an Elvis-y vibe about Chris Isaac, and he's so stylish.
But that
and
one
he's
song
funny.
Wicked funny.
Ruined yeah. me for like that. I never even tried to like Chris Isaac because of that one song and that oh just
Chris yeah. Isaac.
I believe they call that the Rhiannon effect.
Yeah, Chris Isaac is a cool dude to hang out with.
Yeah,
I've had the chance to hang out with him a couple times, and he's very very nice, very chill guy. One of the boys.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Very much so.
I saw him 6 months ago down at the Cabot.
Dude,
he's phenomenal.
Next time he comes around,
Arm and Derry.
Let's go.
We're going.
Let's go.
You ready? Next time he comes,
I'm not part of this.
I got one for you.
Before this gets out of hand and everybody yells, "I'm in,"
He was scared. We were going to say, "You're coming. You come on." Which one? I went to see, not Chris Isaac.
I went to see
Elvis Costello.
No.
Ricky Martin.
No.
It's okay. You see, a guy got a boner on stage last night.
Poor guy.
If there's a God up in heaven, he drives a silver Thunderbird.
Oh, Mark Cohn.
So I go to see Mark Cohn down at the Cabot.
Yeah.
And
how long ago?
Three years ago. No,
okay.
Maybe
he still had his voice.
Maybe pre-pandemic.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I know the restaurant across the street. A buddy of mine owns it. So I go to a restaurant, and he goes, "Hey, he's sitting right in. You want to sit next door to the, you know?" So yeah. There's a little private room. He's got the band.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there with my wife. It's just the two of us, and then the band, and they're chatting away. And so at one point he goes, "Well, fellas, I think we should put a set list together, huh?" And my wife is like, my wife knows how happy I am because I just love that whole process.
Oh yeah, right.
So I'm just sitting there. I'm just taking it in. And I'm eating lasagna and taking it in.
You tell me to do True Companion.
And he goes, "There's a couple songs." No, and he goes, blah blah blah, and then he goes, "And I guess we should do Thunderbird." And I go, with a mouthful of lasagna, I go, "You better do Thunderbird." And he looks over. He goes, "Excuse me." I go, "I came down here for the whole night. That's all I want to see." And he goes, "Oh, you're a fan." I go, "That's the greatest song ever written about a car." And he goes, "Really?" And he goes, "Tell me more." And I go, "It's a beautiful song."
And his dad.
And
it's
I know it's
about
not about
dad.
The car. It's about the old man. And I go, "Ed, is it?" And I go, "I love that song."
Yeah.
And he looks at the band and he goes, "Well, the big guy wants Thunderbird."
That could have gone one or two ways. And that was good.
You'd love it.
Yeah.
You know Walking to Memphis, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's great. First two albums were just phenomenal.
So halfway through the thing, he goes, "All right, let's do it." And he just starts playing it. And he looks right down at me and goes, just gives me a smile.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's awesome.
That's funny. Mark Cohn, I saw him with Sarah Jarosz, whom I adore, and Sonny came home, Sean Colvin up in Portland. And I'm going to see Sarah Jarosz at the State Theater coming up. Valerie and I are going up in May.
The guy that you mentioned, he's not the one that got shot, is he?
No. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So
he got shot in the head. He was carjacked.
Yeah, okay.
He was shot in the head. He was carjacked.
That's what I thought.
And he's fine. His voice isn't what it used to be, but whose is?
Right.
You know, but...
I think we should also... You could give him a slide, too.
Long time ago, we did Earthfest. When Earthfest was all the thing, and it was everybody... So we had this big Earthfest thing at then Snively Arena, the old one.
Yeah.
And... Paul Rogers showed up from Bad Company. We had all of these environmental things and all that stuff. And Mark Cohn's Walking in Memphis was a hit. It was a huge hit.
Monster hit.
And so he was coming in. So I was, I don't know what work I was doing at the station. I don't think it was mornings. And somebody said, "They need help out back." So I ran out back and they needed help to unload from Mark Cohn. So I just walked up and I grabbed the end of a electric piano and I started to slide it out. And the roadie picks up the other end, and I'm walking. I look up, and it ain't the roadie. It's Mark Cohn.
Whoa. Yeah.
And so
don't set that
person. He's like, "That is horny." So I ended up, we carried it in, and I was cracking. I was being a wise guy.
Yeah.
And he goes, don't make me laugh. I can't drop this. You know, he was really cool.
That's
and
awesome.
Really nice. Yeah. And so was Paul Rogers. I mean, you know, hanging out with Paul Rogers at Snively Arena was crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking, looking back now, how the hell did he, why was he there?
Yeah.
I think he was doing
he
the
loved
firm.
Earth.
Huh?
I said he loved Earth.
Yeah, but anyway, it was cool. So we got a little mark. I can not as good as yours. Yours is a better story. But he's a good dude. Good dude. All right. So what else? Let me out. What's the weirdest show? If you tell me the concert you went to that nobody would believe you went to.
Oh, that's easy. Janet Jackson in Radio City Music Hall, New
really?
York City. Yeah.
Good show.
I had to sign up for the Janet Jackson fan club to get those tickets.
Somebody kidnapped
you or your
something?
Wife?
Mrs. Dunn. Mrs. Okay. Dunn's a bit of a Janet Jackson fan.
Okay.
So,
right.
Yeah, that's an easy one. Okay. No brainer. I had
Scotty.
No business being there.
What show did
Kelly,
you go to?
I'm going to need Kelly's help on this. I, for a girlfriend, went and saw Bette Midler. I'm going to call it Great Woods because it was a long time ago.
Xfinity Center, yeah.
And then there was the girl who sang Sunny Comes Home. Saw her again with a girlfriend, and then there was, I think that's it.
Well, Kenny Rogers with your mom, but that doesn't count.
Kenny Rogers, I'll admit. Yeah. I loved it.
Kelly,
great show.
Weirdest
show. Grateful Dead is, you know, I like them, but I wouldn't go. My ex-wife took me, saw the last one of their last shows at the Garden before Jerry died.
And that's when you said, she's going to be my ex-wife. And because I ain't going back to this garbage.
Things were going great.
No, I'm not, just kidding.
It was that ride home from Great Woods.
He's like, I'm not going to do this again.
It's a long drive.
I'm just
it was a good
kidding.
Show. It was a lot of pot smoking going on.
Oh, yeah. Imagine that. Laura.
This place smells weird.
Weirdest show you ever went to?
Well, I don't know if you guys would think anything's weird because I saw Pink and Justin Timberlake.
Or something that's so outside of what
we
know
for
you now.
I'm trying to think. I mean,
what about metal? Did you ever go to a metal show?
No. We saw
Slayer? No. Slipknot. Slipknot? Were you at the Slipknot show?
Atomic
I've seen
Boners.
Slipknot. Okay. I think I've seen Slipknot. A lot of more what we play. Shows like that I've had to go to that are not my kind of music, really.
Went to Barry Manilow, guy kicked ass.
Yeah,
he was right here in New Hampshire. That was he was unbelievable. I sat there with Dave Jolene and my wife, and I'm like, I'm telling you right now, he's going to crush it. You're going to love the show. They loved it. Michael Bublé, that's in my wheelhouse anyway.
If I go see Barry Manilow, he's going to give you the hits.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to give you songs.
He's an entertainer.
He knows what he's doing.
I've seen NSYNC.
Thomas Dolby.
Of kids.
She blinded me with science.
Yeah. Oh, I saw
that guy?
On that tour. Tour, actually.
Right. The Chain Smokers. I took Nora and Sadie to a few shows. The Wiggles. Five Sauce I would go see.
The kids stuff doesn't... You know, you're taking your kids. I saw Aaron Carter.
Oh, yeah, he's a...
Backstreet Boys. Yep. We took him to that, you know.
I sat in a booth in Hollywood right next to him. Eating French fries, and I heard him badmouthing Joey Mack, and I stood up and said, "Hey, that's my boy. Don't mess with Joey Mack."
Yeah.
And we almost got escorted out of the...
That's awesome.
That'll happen.
Yeah.
That
was in Hollywood last couple of years ago.
Yeah. And I saw Jessica Simpson in the Fox Run Mall parking lot perform.
Radio.
No, I just saw her behind a dumpster.
No, you see her there now.
It's weird.
Yeah, she was performing. They had a blow-up stage.
Is this your daughter or something?
I took my daughter. Yeah, and we brought her backstage, and my daughter met Jessica Simpson, and she was really nice, very shy.
Yeah.
Hillary Duff was adorable to my daughter.
Yeah.
Was she behind a dumpster, too?
She was she was behind a dumpster. Yeah.
Demi Lovato.
Yeah.
We went through, and the girls got to meet her, and they were last, and she got down, and Cassidy was, you know, very, very small, and talked to her, and I was like, I don't know who you are, but you know what? Thank you very much. I really, that was awesome.
Take care of the kids, and you're good. Yep. You're good to me. I mean, you're good for me. Whatever.
You can see a lot in the. I mean, we know because we're in the business and we see the backstage. But you can see a lot at the meet and greets, those kind of things. Where I know they're taking money and whatever, but you can judge a person by how they handle those.
You want me to tell you one
Incubus. Incubus signed it and right to the next person.
Oh, wow.
Could have. Cared less, and for a while, I think Incubus, their van broke down because they played everywhere in New England. They were here all the time.
I saw them six times.
And I enjoyed them, but you could tell they had enough. They would just sign it, go.
Linkin Park.
Get out of here.
They were very shy because they're not the most individually dynamic people. This is when Chester Bennington was alive. They signed Tyler's CDs and stuff like that. They were nice, but barely spoke. I will say, strangely enough, one of the nicest, most absolutely genuine, I can't say enough good about this band on their meet and greets. It had nothing to do with me. It was in Worcester, and I went and saw, you can never guess, Matchbox 20. And
Rob Thomas seems like a nice guy.
No, I'm not saying he doesn't. Yeah. Kelly, these guys were overboard. They were so nice. They're like, look, we're not going to leave here until we spend time. They said this with every single one of you, and you get to take the pictures you want to take, and we'll sign whatever you want. We ain't going anywhere. Yep. And I'm like, whoa, that
kind of reminds me a little bit of Corey from Slipknot. Like, he was, we met him backstage, and he was like a lost puppy, followed us around for the rest of the night. We're like, all right, Corey, do you have a band to go hang out with?
He really was. It was kind of odd.
It was like, it was the first time that he'd sat down with people that were just like, we had dinner with him, and just small talk, and then he felt like we were safe, like we weren't gonna like talk all band stuff. And then after a while, it's like, all right, Corey,
I think
you need to go back.
I think he was struggling with sobriety at the same time, and we were pretty chill, so he was like, okay. So
and it's a lonely life out there, and when you get somebody you want to talk to or whatever, I've had that many a time where you meet some band that's playing there the next night.
Yeah.
You know, and you start talking and it's just, you're just trying to kill a night on the road.
They crave normalcy. They do.
They do.
You know what I mean? They do. The time of the wild, crazy stuff, that's gone, with rare exceptions. Sometimes it gets crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I saw somebody Zach Wilde was running around with the Kiss mask backstage at the Godsmack show.
And he was lit.
And he spilled beer all over Sully, who had his stage clothes on. It was like, you know, all right, that's fine. I mean, I walked into a show backstage at the Channel, and there was a pound of blow on the counter, and people just put their face in it.
Oh yeah,
I seen it.
Oh, I used to see guys get paid in it.
Yeah,
when I first started.
Yeah, well, yeah, we've got offered money
when I first got started. It was like, do you want the white or you want the green? And some of the comics would be like, well, I got to pay my rent. Can I have a little bit of green and mostly blue? That's how they would live.
I have to buy baby formula, so I think I'm gonna go
tonight
with the green
with the
tonight.
Blow.
Yeah,
some of
next
us,
time.
Some of us have been offered white.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
After a thing and. I'm not going to say who it was, but yeah, some of us were.
When I started, it was a legit currency for a lot of those comics. And you know the guys.
Yeah.
You know the crew I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely crazy.
Yeah. And you say that people crave normalcy when they're on the road.
Some people crave the other.
Well, some of them do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some of them have, but they all kind of figure out their life. I get on the road. I like to go find some food and have an adventure for the day, get a nap, tell the show that night.
Yeah.
You know, that's my thing.
Right.
But I know other people that they don't even wake up until 7:30. They do the show at 8. Then they want you to take them out on the town. They want to go have a few drinks and meet some fans.
Yeah.
That's how they live. Everybody tries to live their life a different way. But whenever I see somebody that I know, one of my friends come through the casino ballroom, I'll reach out and say, hey, man, you want a real meal? Because I know you don't get those on a road,
right,
and I know you're out for a month.
Right.
Come on up the house, you know?
Yeah.
And some of them absolutely love it.
You know, basically what I've learned is with people that perform for a living, they want an opportunity to not perform. Like we talked about Robin Williams always having to be on. If you can not, if you let them know that you don't expect that, that's a good thing.
Well, we were just talking about that off the air, about my wife making plans around my gigs.
Yeah.
And I want to say, that's exactly right. I know it's not a performance, but I don't want to be, I don't want an hour and a half interview before I go do my show.
You got a routine.
I got a routine, and it's just like I don't want to, and you can't get out of those.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Every one of us has a routine in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
And you don't want to, once you've got your morning routine before you work, if it's a performing type thing, you kind of go, I don't want to disturb that.
No.
And it's not just a performance thing either.
No,
it's
just
people out there that have
everyday stuff.
You have your job, and you have your way you do your job.
Yep. Yep.
And a lot of people look at performing and go, oh, they're so lucky they get to see all these cities. But go on their website and look. They don't see that.
You're not seeing the best parts of the city.
No.
You realize that, like, a lot of the bands I listen to, they're not playing beautiful section of town.
They're staying at the nice hotel.
There's a reason that either something is taped to a speaker that you can't see from the audience or the floor
Cleveland.
That says Boston or Manchester or whatever. And if you're a band that's got a set list right across the top, it's where you're playing.
Yep.
So how Hello Cleveland happens, you know, I don't know how that happens now. You know,
what's the famous story with Ozzy where he missed the whole show because he was putting the, you know that story? Like, Ozzy got all lit up, gets on the tour bus, shows up wherever the next city is, keeps keeps partying through the night, goes to the Marriott or whatever fancy hotel. He can't get in his room, and somebody's working walks by and goes, "Oh my God, that's Ozzy trying to get in his room. Hey, hold on." Let me hit him with a pass key, lets him in a room. Ozzy goes in this empty room, is not, passes out, misses the entire concert.
Nobody
the
next knows where day, he is.
Nobody can find him because he was in the wrong hotel.
Yeah. It's not surprising. It's not. How he's alive is crazy.
Yeah. Insane.
Yeah, absolutely crazy.
Insane.
All right, well, listen, you got to hit the road because you got to literally hit the road.
I'm hitting the road, baby.
In the next few days. So good luck. Drive safe and all that stuff. We'll stay
now,
in
listen,
touch.
If you hit it big, don't forget about us.
Yeah. Well, right. I'll have my people call and we'll do the thing.
Let me tell you something. Jimmy is never going to forget.
Oh, yeah. My God. Jimmy. Next time you talk to Jimmy, there'll be somebody in between. Would you like to speak to the
up.
Moose? Also, please. Please
don't mention.
Yeah, the Moose.
Please do not mention Mrs. Moose.
Yeah, listen.
All right?
Yeah.
Do not mention Mrs.
He's got
Moose.
His things you can't talk about.
Don't look Mr. Moose. Yeah.
Any no, kind of comedy on Route 1.
And any real estate people. Don't mention real estate people. He doesn't like that. All right. That's funny. All right, Jimmy, good to see you, man. Good luck. We love you. We'll
thank
be watching
you.
For you
love
on
you
Frasier,
guys.
Too. All right, so we'll see him soon. You guys, thanks for hanging out. We're going to be taking off and seeing you tomorrow morning at 5:30 right here on The Buzz. Thanks for tuning in to The Buzz 24/7.